Amen. A wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day it is. To be able to rise on this morning, prepare to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. So this morning we are going to look at and talk about Hezekiah, a king worth following. A king worth following. You know, many times we hear children talk about their parents, how they love the things in which their parents have done, what their parents are doing, and what they will do. Many times, little boys want to follow the footsteps of their fathers. And sometimes it's just the opposite. They want to go in a different direction. That is good in some cases to follow after, and in some cases it is good to go in a different direction. We find as we look at King Hezekiah and his reign, we're going to look and we're going to talk about first how his father was not a good king. And even thinking about his father not being a good king, the father of Ahaz was a good king. It's a little strange, isn't it, how you can have a good king, and you can have a son that's following that reign and not a good king, and then you can have another son that follows that reign that is a good king. No, it's not so much as the king, but of God. You know, we can so many times say we want to follow the example of some man. But when God is out of the picture, there is a problem. And the problem is that there's no telling which direction you will go and no telling how long you will go in the direction in which you're going. And I say that to say this, that sometimes not even thinking about following God, people are following him and they go a certain length and then they say, hey, this is the way of God and I don't want to go that way. And they cease to do what is right. And then they could be going in the wrong direction and finally wake up one day and say, hey, this is not the direction that I need to be going in, and cease to go in that direction and start following God. There are many people that choose to do right, and then yet there are many people that choose to do wrong. The scripture that Brother Thanopoulos read on this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, that is 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. Again, it reads, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They took confidence in this, that God being with them is more powerful, more meaningful than all the men of flesh that the other army had. And that's what we need to realize today. No matter how great the multitudes are, they do not equal, match the power that God has. And if we would depend on Him, He will see us through whatever we're going through upon this earth. And I say that to say this, that troubles will come, troubles may last, but this life is going to end one day. And if we have held on to the hand of God, we will be victorious. We will be victorious. Some things about Hezekiah's father. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 in the verses 1. He was wicked. He was wicked. Brother Simmons prayed, and he prayed about mankind being evil. Well, here's one right here. Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was a wicked man. The Bible says here, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father David had done. Now, not just was he a wicked king, but he had a great example from his father who he ruled with 4 years before he took over his reign. What's the problem? See, a lot of times, again, men want to do what they want to do and not do what God requires them to do. So he was very wicked. Then we find that he built and worshipped idols. He built and worshipped idols. Now understand, when a man has built something, that something can't do anything unless that man picks it up and takes it to a certain place. Here, Ahaz, the Bible tells us, built and worshipped idols. Verse 2, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. He did what God was displeased with. Does that sound like a king that you want to follow? Does that sound like someone that you want to pattern your life after and say that I am glad that he has done these things and I'm going to do the same? No, it does not. But there were individuals that followed him. He truly believed that idols could deliver. He truly believed this. How can you believe something that's not true? See, God allowed these things to take place. He allowed these men's minds to be warped, that they may believe that what they were seeing was true, what they thought was happening was actually happening. 2 Chronicles 28 and the verses 23. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus that had defeated him and said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. They were his ruin. They brought him down, these false gods that couldn't do anything for themselves. But yet here is a king saying, I am going to sacrifice unto them. Sacrifice unto them. Again, there in verse 3, he burnt children as sacrifices. Innocent children. He put them through the fire, which, again, this is an abomination before God. God never intended for children to be burned in fire, to be sacrificed. Yes, what type of sacrifice did God accept? Something that was pure. Something that was perfect. Something without spot or blemish. Here, these children, yes, they're perfect, but yet God did not intend for children to be sacrificed in a fire. Did not intend for that. But Ahaz took upon himself to be like the other nations and sacrifice these children unto a false god. There in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 16, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 16, he made alliances with other nations. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help. For the Edomites had again invaded and defeated Judah and carried away captives. Going down to verse 21, it says, "For Ahaz took a portion from the house of the Lord and the house of the king and of the princesses and gave tribute to the king of Assyria." But it did not help him. It did not help him. And see, that's what we need to understand. If the help does not come from God, it is useless. When you think that what you're doing is right, but yet you don't see any benefits from it, it's useless. We say that from time to time in reference to people going out and getting these college degrees, but yet they have not sought God. It's useless. It's useless. You say, "What do you mean it's useless? I have a good job." Is that job going to get you into heaven? I'm able to buy me a nice home. Is that home going to get you into heaven? A nice automobile. Can you drive that automobile from here to heaven? You know, there's a song out there singing, "There's a stairway to heaven." You can't drive that car up that stairway. The only way that you're going to get to heaven is to do what God has required for you to do. It's the only way that you're going to get there. You cannot worship that automobile. You cannot worship that job. You cannot worship that home. You must worship God. Amen. He closed the temple. He didn't care about worshiping God. He closed the temple there in verse 24. "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. And he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem." He shut the doors. He closed it. It wasn't God's plan, but it happened. See, a lot of times we have to understand that when we see things of this nature, yes, I said it's not God's plan, but yet God had a plan from the very beginning. For whatever happened, God had a way out. And the way out was not King Ahaz. It was not him. But it was his son, Hezekiah. Hezekiah's reign. Hezekiah began to reign at the age of 26. You know, again, these are young men, but these are not the youngest kings that have ever reigned. They're young men. They have a life. But the life is now not of that of the world, but it's the life that God has chosen for them. That King Ahaz did not do what was right, but yet we find that Hezekiah did. He began during the turbulent time. The times again where the temple doors were closed. 16 years there, a bad example of a bad leadership. Looking at what his father had done. Understanding that these things were not right. He did not say, "I'm going to embrace those things. I'm going to follow after the footsteps of my father." He did not do that. He followed what God wanted him to do. Look there in verse 19. In verse 19 of 2 Chronicles chapter 28. It says, "For the Lord humbled Judah because of King Ahaz of Israel, for he had made Judah act sinfully and had been very unfaithful to the Lord." Very unfaithful. Not just unfaithful. You know, we got some people that are unfaithful from time to time. But here it says that King Ahaz was very unfaithful. How's your faithfulness today? Are you a little unfaithful? Or are you very faithful? See, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? Someone that's very faithful unto God, what he desires for them to do. Verse 20 again, he says, "So Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him." See, things are not just an ideal situation for King Hezekiah here. The things in which his father did and the state that he left, you know, the kingdom in. There has to be a change for the better and not for the worse. And Hezekiah was willing to take up on himself the power that God was going to instill in him to do what was right, to be the leader that God wanted him to be. He turned Judah around through faith in God. And again, that's what we need. We need some people to have faith in God so that their lives may be turned around. See, we got people that are in a stop, you know, in a hole, in a rut. And they're like, "Well, how can I get away from this?" Have faith in God. Depend upon Him. Quit looking at self and understand that God doesn't want us to destroy one another. He doesn't want us to destroy ourselves, but He wants us to depend upon Him so that we may be built up, so that we may be strengthened. Again, 2 Chronicles 32, the scripture reference that was read, what does he say? Some very powerful words. You've heard these words before. You may not remember them. When Joshua took over after Moses, when he was told the same, be of good courage. Be of good courage. See, we need some men to be of good courage, to do the things that were right. Be courageous. He said, "Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria." You don't have to worry about that king. You know, we sometimes, you know, forget what the scriptures tell us. We worry about man who can destroy the body. And the one that we need to be worrying about is the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Here, again, he has said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him." And what again? Who again are we looking at? We're looking at the Lord, who will deliver us from whatever He desires to deliver us. And like the three that were in the burning fiery furnace before they went in, they say, if He don't deliver us, we know that He has the power to deliver us. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm willing to go into this situation knowing that God will see me through. And if I don't make it through, I'm faithful. I've done what He wanted me to do. And I will continue to walk in the way that He wants me to walk. He was determined to serve God early in life. See, this is what we need to be instilling in our children and our grandchildren. That they may serve God early in life. You know, they may not make it out of childhood. They may not make it out of their teenage years. They may not make it out of their young adult years. They may not make it. But if they are doing what God wants them to do, so be it if they don't make it. But we need to instill in them the importance of following the Word of God as Hezekiah did at a young age. You know, we have children that graduate from high school and they go off to college without God. And then they go out there and they taste the world and they say, man, if I had known that the world was this good, I'd have went out a long time ago. No, you would have stayed at home until you turned 18 and graduated high school, and then you would leave. But just because they have tasted the world doesn't mean that the world is good for them. They need to serve God and do the things that are right before Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, what did Hezekiah do at a young age? The Bible again, we're going to start with verse 1. We'll come down to verse 3 again, talking about the reign of Hezekiah. It says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He didn't waste no time, did he? His father shut the doors, and the first year, he opened the doors. You know, what did this remind you of? You know, we just had an election. You know, some say, we don't want this, and we're going to stop this. And then new people get in office, and they say, we want this, and we're going to start it back. Well, was it for the better or for the worse? You know, some say better, some say worse. I say it's all because of God. Here we find again, what did Hezekiah do? The first year of his reign, he opened the doors. He opened the doors. He repaired them, the house of the Lord. See, we need people to think about what is right in the eyes of God. And as you think about those things, are you willing to do those things? He received good instruction while he was young. Good instruction. And that's, again, what we need, isn't it? We need good instruction. There in verse 10, the Bible says this in reference to Hezekiah. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order that his fierce anger may turn away from us. I'm going to make a covenant, not just for myself, but for the children of Israel, so that his anger, his fierce anger, may turn away from us. See, God is upset with the children of Israel right about now. And Hezekiah say, I'm going to do something to fix that. I'm going to make a covenant with the Lord. See, how many times have we thought about making a covenant with the Lord in order to better our situation? To come away from what is wrong, to repair or fix what has been messed up. This world is messed up. But you know what happens? Instead of praying about it, we complain about it. Hezekiah is not complaining. He's busy doing what God wants him to do. He's fixing what was messed up. You know, people say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. It's broke right about now. Hezekiah said, it should not be broke. We're going to do what is right before God. We're going to get the temple back where it needs to be. And that's what we need to understand about this young man. What can we gather from this? We teach our children while they're young. You know, people say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can. It's a little hard, though. So we teach them when they're young. We discipline them when they're young. Brother Sims, again, I appreciate your prayer. But you know, the Bible teaches us that God, he chastens those that he loves. And so what we need to understand and what we need to do is we need to chasten our children. We need to teach them because we love them. We don't kick them out and we don't say, go out there and do whatever you want to do. No, we teach them while they're young. We instill in them the things that God desires for them to do. Much evil coming from many different places. You know, again, what happened to King Ahaz? He wanted to be like the other nations. He allowed them, you know, to influence him. And that's what's happening to our youth today. We're allowing, or they are allowing, the world to influence them. I think it's right. I think I should do drugs. I think I should go out there and I should just sleep with whoever I please to sleep with. I think I should talk back to my parents. I think that these things are right because everybody else is doing them. No, everybody else is not doing them. You're not doing them, but you're contemplating on doing them. Don't do them. Let somebody follow after you. Obey God and not be concerned with what others think or say. They were talking about me, so therefore I did it. Let them talk. They talked about Jesus, but what did he do? He stayed on the cross. So that you and I may have a right to the tree of life. I am glad he stayed there. I'm glad he let them talk about him. I'm glad that he didn't revile back against them, but he did what the Father wanted him to do. See, we need some children to be obedient unto their parents. Don't worry about what the world says, but do what is right. We make our own choices about serving God, don't we? Yes, we do. We make our own choices. But may I say this, that if you have a child that's under the age of 18, and he or she is in your home, and you serve God, they should be right alongside of you. Whether they have obeyed the gospel or not, they should be right side of you, serving God, learning more and more about him. And when that time comes for them to make up in their minds to do what is right, it should not be a difficult choice. It should not be, you know, I don't want to serve God because I have never seen anything that God has done good in my life. Oh, mom and dad has clothed you. They have fed you. They have housed you. That's good. They have taught you. That's good. They have loved you. That's good. So what other reason do you need to follow after God? Now let him come into your life by being obedient unto the gospel. And look and see how good he really is. But again, the message that Brother Glenn preached the other day in reference to after you're baptized, see, a lot of things you don't see. But once you're baptized, they hit you right flap dab in the face. Knock you down. And you're like, wow, I didn't realize this. No, you didn't realize it because Satan had you right where he wanted you. But now you're resisting him. You're resisting him. And he doesn't love, he doesn't like, he doesn't care to be resisted. But continue to resist him. And continue to do the things that God wants you to do, as King Hezekiah did. Hezekiah returned Judah to true religion. To true religion now. Well, what do you mean, true religion? I mean that there are some false religions out there. I mean that there are some people that are worshiping false gods. I mean that there are some people that don't understand, as Hezekiah understood, the difference between restoration and reformation. That's what I mean. When we talk about true religion, see, there are so many people don't understand about being restored. And so what they want to do is they want to change some things. See, we don't need any changes. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to God's word. We need to get back to doing what is right and acceptable before him. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and the verse is 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and the verse is 16. It says, thus said the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not walk in. What were they looking for? Were they looking for restoration? No, they were looking for reformation. See, that's not what we need today, is it? See, we don't need changes. There are so many people that want to change the things that are right, and they want to go in about and do the things that are wrong. See, God is displeased with that. Hezekiah wasn't that type of person. He wasn't that king. Again, what do we find? He reopened the temple. He reopened the temple. It's sad that we see so many congregations folding because of people's unfaithfulness. Because people don't want to do what is right. People don't want to go out there into a lost and dying world and talk to people about God. So therefore, there are so many congregations just folding. And what we need is we need the people to get back to the basics of God's word. Going out and carrying out the Great Commission to teach people the right way. Going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 in the verses 5 through 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 5 through 11. These words. He says, so they decreed to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, and the people should come and keep the Passover of the Lord and the God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not kept it as often as prescribed. So carriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with letters from the king and the princes and his princesses. And the king had, as the king had commanded, saying, O people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he may turn again to the remnant of you who had escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were faithless to the Lord God of their fathers, so that he had made a desolation as you see. Do not now be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and come to his sanctuary where he has consecrated forever. And serve the Lord your God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land. And for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. So the carriers went out from the city, from city to city, throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, and as far as Zebulun. And they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. However, some men of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Is this not what we need to do today? To go out there in the highways and byways, knocking on those doors, telling people that they need to come to God. Some need to return back to him. And what's going to happen? Some are going to laugh. Some are going to say, get off my step. Some are going to say, why, you mean tell me you woke me up for this? Get you read. The sign said, no soliciting. We're not soliciting. We're not selling anything. We're offering it to you for free. We want you to understand the importance of hearing the gospel. We want you to understand the importance of being obedient unto the gospel. We want you to understand the importance of doing what God has called men to do. Serve him. Serve him. Hezekiah is that king. Hezekiah is an example of what young people need to do. Hezekiah is an example of what old people need to do. Hezekiah is an example of what leaders need to do. Follow God and do what is right. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours. To put away those things that can't help you. To put Christ on, the one that can strengthen you, the one that can help you, the one that you can do all things through him. Put Christ on through the water of the grave of baptism. If you're here, come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're here and you're strayed away, we ask you to come back. Repent of your sins. Confess your faults to him, and he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. If you're here and you're subject, if you want to become a Christian, come to be baptized in the watery grave, rise and to walk a newness of life. And if you're straight away, we ask you to come back as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.